He was massive. The biggest guy I've ever seen. Young man in the yellow shirt, could you stand up for a second, please? How tall are you, young man?
I'm 6'9".
That's tall. But this guy was much bigger. Much bigger. Oh, he was terrifying. You should have seen him. He stood there across the valley. And he shouted out at us. And we were terrified. Myself and my other soldiers in the army of Israel, we were terrified. He was massive. I mean, I think I'm pretty tall. That guy's pretty tall. But this guy, he was something else. And it wasn't just what he looked like, although he did look pretty impressive. He had this armor on, about 60 kilos of armor on his body. He had this spear. You should have seen this spear. It was this thick spear, and at the top of it was about 7 kilos, this point. I don't know how the guy threw the thing, but when you looked at him, I guess anything is possible for a guy that big. And he was terrifying to look at. And then you should have heard what he was saying. You should have heard the words that came out of his mouth. You see, we were lined up there for battle. And this man stepped out of his battle lines, this giant of a man, and he said, "Who's going to fight me? Come on, send someone to fight me. Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Send someone to fight me." And he said, "I defy you, Israel. Send someone to fight me. If I win, you will become our subjects, and we will serve you. But if your servant wins, the whole Philistine army will become your servants. Send someone to fight me," he said. He was terrifying. You know, and we just shrunk back. You know that feeling when you know you're going to get asked to do something and you don't want to do it, so you kind of sneak back and you hide in the corner? There was no corners left in the Israelite camp. And this man said, "Fight me," and no one will put their hand up. And you know what? It went on for 40 days. Day in, day out, this man came to the front of the battle lines and he said, "Send someone to fight me." We were terrified. Never seen anything so scary in my whole life. And then one day, this boy showed up. Just a boy. His name was David. See, I didn't know much about David. I knew that he had three brothers in the army. I found out later that his name was David, and he was the son of Jesse. Jesse from Bethlehem. And he'd been sent with some supplies for his brothers. His dad was getting old, and his dad wanted to know how his brothers were getting along in the army there. And so he sent along some supplies and wanted to hear word back. And David came along. He arrived there, and he left the supplies with someone, and he came out to meet his brothers with us on the battle line. And just while he was there, this giant stepped forward once more, like he had done for every day for the last 40 days. "I defy you, Israel. Send someone to fight me." And calling out all kinds of insults against our army and our God. You should have seen David's face. This boy, he was horrified. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. "Who is this," he said, "this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" he said. "How can you stand here listening to this man insult the God of Israel and the army of Israel?" And so we told him. We said, "Well, the king has a great reward for anyone who could defeat this man. His daughter in marriage, never pay tax again. Wouldn't that be nice, David? Why don't you go and talk to Saul?" But his brother was there, his oldest brother, Eliab, and his brother turned to him and said, "What are you doing here? You're just a boy. Go back to your sheep. You don't belong here. This is a place of battle. You're just here to see blood, you wicked boy." And David said, like a good younger brother, "Can't I even speak? What's wrong? I'm just trying to find out what's going on here. Why is this beast insulting the armies of Israel and the God of Israel?" And so he asked again, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" And so we told him, "There's a reward. The king has one." And the word got to Saul, our king, you see. And he called for David. And so David went to Saul, and I went along to listen because I wanted to hear what this man would say to the king. What would he say to the king after kind of turning up in the battle and hearing these things? He walked into the presence of our king and he said, "King, let no one lose heart. Let no one be discouraged on account of this Philistine. Let no one be dismayed because of what he is saying. I will go and fight him." I wish you could have been there to see Saul's face looking at this boy. You think you're going to go and fight that man? You're a boy. He has been killing people since he was a boy. You can't fight him. He's a warrior. And David said, "Maybe you've been a king for too long, but I'm a shepherd, and maybe you've forgotten what a shepherd does. You see, I'm a shepherd and I look after the flock. And I sometimes a lion comes and takes away a sheep. And you know what I do? I go after that lion. And I get the sheep back. And when the lion kind of turns on me, I grab it by the hair and I strike it and I kill it. Or a bear sometimes comes, and when the bear takes the sheep, I go after the bear, I get the sheep back. And when the bear turns on me, I grab it by the hair and I strike it and I kill it." He said, "I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, he'll be the same because he has defied the armies of the living God." He said, Yahweh, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Now this is what Saul said. He looked him in the eyes and he said, "All right, well, you're the only one we've got. So off you go, and Yahweh be with you." He said, "But before you go, why don't I give you some armor? At least give you half a chance against this giant. Here, have my helmet, have my armor, have my sword." And so he gave those things to David. And you should have seen David put them on. He put the helmet on, and then he put the armor on, and he put the sword in, and he was like this, trying to walk around with these things on his body. He was just a boy. He said to Saul, "I can't wear these. I'm not used to them. I don't like them." I couldn't believe it, but he took them off. And then he walked out, and he picked up his stick. He went down to the stream. He picked up 5 smooth stones. He put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. He took his sling and he went out to meet the giant Goliath. And Goliath saw him coming. You should have seen it in his eyes. He despised this boy. He's just a boy. "Is this the best you've got, Israel? This is a joke." He looked at him and he said, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And then he cursed him. He said, "Come here and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And I'll never forget what David said to him. These amazing words. He said, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of Yahweh Almighty, the God of Israel, whose armies you have defied." And this day, he said, "This day, Yahweh will hand you over to me. And I will kill you, and I will cut off your head." And he said, "You think you're going to feed my flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field? Well, guess what? That's going to be your flesh. And not just your flesh, but the flesh of the whole Philistine army." He said to this man, "Yahweh has got this. You might have your shield bearer in front of you, but I have Yahweh before me. He's going to destroy you. And you know what? When he destroys you, the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone standing here will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that Yahweh saves. For the battle is Yahweh's, and he will hand all of you over to us." He said, get ready. You're about to see what a real God looks like. You're about to see God do something amazing. And Goliath could hear it no longer. With big lumbering steps, he started to move towards David. He drew his sword. David, in the same way, picked out a stone and started to run towards Goliath. And just like that, the stone was in his sling. Through the air it flew, 150 kilometers an hour, straight into his head. His eyes went blank. And he tumbled, face first, into the ground. The thump when he hit the ground, this mountain of a man taken down by a rock. And David ran over to this man, took his sword, killed him and cut off his head, a trophy of the triumph of God that day. And things changed just like that. You should have seen the Philistines. For 40 days they'd sat there in their chairs watching their giant taunt us, terrify us, torment us, and suddenly he was dead. And their faces told the whole story. And they turned on their heels and they ran. And we, who'd been sitting there for 40 days listening to this terrifying giant, we suddenly had a new courage, a new confidence. And with a shout, we ran and we pursued those Philistines and we cut them down until there was none left. You see, friends, it was a great victory that day. A great victory for Yahweh, the God of Israel. A great victory for his people. I'd never seen anything like it. You see, and I'm here this morning to tell you something else. See, after that day, I was thinking. I've been thinking about what that all meant. What did I learn that day? I'm here to tell you, it's so hot outside, we may as well stay here all day anyway. I'm here to tell you about what I learned that day. I'm told that as you talk here in this building, that the person who stands here and speaks needs to give 3 points. And they all have to start with the same letter. So I've done that for you. The letter is D. And I want to tell you about death. I want to tell you about deliverance. And I want to tell you about decisions. Death. You see, when I stood there, with the valley between us and the Philistines, all I could think about was death. That man Goliath, I'm sure he represents many things. He represents evil. He represents defying God. But to me, he represented the threat of death. When I looked at him, all I could think about was, if someone doesn't deal with this man, I'm done for. And this threat of death for 40 days, it hung over us. Caused us to be in terror and fear. Death. We were terrified. It made us feel hopeless and helpless. I wonder if you've ever felt like that in the face of death. Hopeless, scared, helpless. Death does that to us. We look at the prospect of death and we think, this is a scary thing, and it's been this way since the beginning, since our ancestors, Adam and Eve, since they sinned against God. And God said, the punishment for your disobedience is death. And every man and woman is destined to die. And this threat hangs over us. And we're kind of slaves to a fear of death. That's how I feel. Maybe some of you have faced death recently, a loved one. Or in your own life, there's prospects that death is arriving sooner rather than later. It's not right. Death hangs over us like a cloud. It's a threat. When I stood and I saw that giant, that's all I could think about. Death. The terror, the fear, How would we escape death unless someone delivered us? That's my second D, you see. Deliverance. See, I realize now, having seen what happened that day, that there is someone who can deliver us from death. That God is the only one who can deliver us from the threat of death. David knew that, you see. I told you how he said to Saul, the king, Yahweh has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. David knew that Yahweh could deliver him from death. And he had this testimony of what God had done with the animals. And I thought, we should have remembered that God could do that too. Are we not the people of God brought out of Egypt? Did we not escape from Pharaoh and then Pharaoh chased us and God delivered us from the hand of Pharaoh by putting this cloud between us and the army of Egypt? Did not our ancestors get to the Red Sea and God parted the Red Sea and we walked through and then the Egyptians followed our ancestors in and were destroyed by the waters? Did God not deliver us once then from death? We should have remembered that. His name is Jehovah Mepalti, the Lord my deliverer. Had we forgotten that about God? That he could deliver us from death? I think we had. You see, I realized something else. That God can deliver us from death, and he does it in the most unexpected ways. We were looking for someone to fight this beast, this Goliath, this tall man calling out curses against our God and against our people. We were looking for someone who was at least 7 foot tall, maybe not 9, but someone who could fight this man. And then David arrived and his brother said, "Go back, you boy." And Saul said, "You're just a boy. You can't fight this man." And he walked out on the battlefield and Goliath said, "You're just a boy. This is a joke." No one, I realized, no one would have picked David to deliver the people of God. But he had a heart for God. That's what God cared about. And he chose David to be the agent of deliverance for his people, to deliver his people from that threat of death that was before them. It was incredible. And it makes me wonder, what if God was to step in once and for all and deliver his people for all eternity from death? What if God was to do something so that death no longer made us ever feel hopeless or helpless? What if God was to do something where he intervened and delivered his people so that death no longer made us feel scared or afraid? Wouldn't that be incredible? Wouldn't it be incredible as the people of God if we could say to death, "Death, I don't fear you. Where is your victory? Where is your sting, O death?" Wouldn't that be incredible? How would God do that? How would God deliver his people? Well, I'm convinced he would do it in a way that we don't expect. Maybe he'd send someone. Maybe he'd send someone like David, a humble man from the little town of Bethlehem. Maybe he'd send someone who would stare death in the face and who would triumph over death once and for all. What would that be like? What would it be like to live in a world where we know that death has no power over us? And if we were delivered from death, what would we be delivered to? See, we were delivered, you see, from Egypt, from the hand of Pharaoh, and delivered into the promised land. What would we be delivered into? From death to what? To life, I guess. This stuff makes my head spin. I don't have all the answers. Maybe you do. Maybe you know what happens. Maybe a lot has happened in the last 3,000 years that might help you understand this. But what I do know is this. This is my last D, decision. What I know is that we have a decision to make, and that decision is to this question: will I trust? Will I trust in the God who delivers his people from death? Will I trust in the God who delivers his people from death? You see, David did. He knew the kind of God that he served. He knew that Yahweh could deliver him. And that day, you see, was a turning point for me. Because I realized that I didn't trust that God like I should have. I didn't trust that God that he could actually deliver us. I was looking for a warrior or someone just to fix this problem. But it was God who could deliver us. And I've asked myself the question, do I trust in that God who can deliver us? That's a question for you as well. Have you trusted in that God? The God who can deliver once and for all from death? If not, maybe today is a turning point day for you. Maybe today is a day when you could trust, like I did that day when I saw what David did by the power of God. Trust in that God who could deliver us from death. Trust in that God who could give us something so much better than death. Trust in that God who's able to do so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. Do you trust in that God? You see, this story is a great story, a story that I want to tell my kids and my grandkids. And I hope one day it's in books that parents read to their children before they go to bed. But it's not a story just for a story. It's certainly not a story about how we can all overcome our giants if we just try and we're just bold and all that kind of nonsense. This is a story about having faith. Faith in the God who can deliver us from death. That's what I wanted to do when I saw that day. God, deliver us, deliver his people. Do you trust in that God? I don't know how your speakers normally stop talking. Sometimes they probably don't. But I like to pray. So would you join with me as we pray to our God together? Jehovah Mepalti, the Lord, my deliverer. Thank you that you deliver us from death. Death is a scary thing. Death makes us feel hopeless and helpless, but we praise you that there is a God who can deliver us and who can take away that fear and take away that sense of hopelessness and give us hope. Help us, I pray, to trust in you. Amen.